singing, Show Us Christ. And we're going to be looking into the book of Proverbs this morning. And we need to remember that Christ is the personification of wisdom. All of the wisdom of the Bible is contained in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he's referred to in John chapter 1 as the Word. So as we come to Proverbs, let's remember that we are, as we search out for wisdom in this book, we are actually searching out Christ together. Okay? Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be looking this morning at a number of different things that a father should be teaching his children. But we want to do some reading in God's Word to prepare our hearts, so let us do that. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of my instructions. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is deep, dark, is like deep darkness. You do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. We thank God for the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we've been praying that you would show us Christ. As we look into your word, we remember that Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. We remember, our Father, that when we see Jesus Christ, we see God. We see you, our Father. And so as we look into your most holy word and we seek to discover this morning what a father should teach his sons and his daughters, Lord, give us wisdom and grace. Father, where we've failed, give us grace not to wallow in regret, but may we find grace, O Lord, to confess our failures, recognizing that no one is a perfect father or mother, and help us, our Father, to keep pressing on in the things that we find in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, I'm going to preach on some things. I've got about 8 or 9 different things that a father is to teach his son. I don't know how far we'll get today, but I think you're going to find them helpful. But I want to preface this with a couple of things. First of all, as I prepared this message, I realized that there are things, my father didn't teach me some of these things. And as a result of that, I've suffered because of it. So, And I know as a father, as I look at these things, there are areas that I could have done a better job with my sons and my daughters. And so as we come to God's Word this morning, I don't want you to be looking at this and feeling like, oh man, I'm just a total failure here. You know, we need to remember what we talked about earlier, mercy and grace. Doesn't matter what the mistakes you've made, God is in the business of taking lives and transforming them. And so if you have failed as a father, if you see things in here, or you've got a son who regrets that your father didn't lead you the way he ought to, my friends, this is an opportunity to look to God, to recommit ourselves to do things His way. So let's look into His Word. Now, first thing I want to say this morning is I want to remind you that of the genre, that's the kind of literature that Proverbs is. It's a saying. It's a wisdom saying. It's a collection of wise sayings that generally, and I underline that word generally hold true in most circumstances. Why do I say that? Well, I'll give you an example. Many of you know Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, right? Any of you, does that ring a bell to any of you? Some of you, I heard a whisper. When I say the verse, you'll know it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful truth? My friends, I want to tell you something that might be a shock to you. That's not a promise. That's not an ironclad promise. Jesus said, or God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My friends, that's ironclad. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But this in Proverbs is a general saying. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and the odds are in your favor that he or she will not depart from it when he is old. So, parents, your children, in spite of all that you do to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, some of them are going to turn away. And that doesn't mean that this verse isn't true. It's just a reality. We see it in the Old Testament. Christians who raised parents. Look at Jacob and Esau. Same parents, godly parents. One went his own way. The other followed after the Lord. But we need to remember, though, that even though this isn't an ironclad promise, if we ignore the teaching, the rebuke, the reproof, and discipline of our children, we should not be surprised when they go their own way. Okay? Now, the goal of all godly teaching and discipline is wisdom. It is wisdom. And we remembered in a previous sermon, what is the source of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is our first responsibility as parents, and especially as fathers, to teach our sons and our daughters to fear the Lord. And my friends, we've got to demonstrate that in our own lives, right? You can do all you want. You can undo very easily all of the good teaching as a parent by simply not living out what you're teaching. My friends, your kids are hypocrisy detectors. They're very good. They can smell it a mile away. And if you're trying to teach them biblical truth and you're not living it out in your own daily life, you have a very good chance of having those kids get to adulthood and throw it all away and go their own way. Okay, so be aware of that. Now, the first thing we want to look at this morning, the first thing I want to emphasize, and these are three or four things that really apply to the person of the child. The first one is teach your son to control his mind. Let's remember that Proverbs is primarily a manual for fathers in the training of their sons. This doesn't mean that daughters are not important. It doesn't mean that mothers are not important. We can't ignore the fact that this is the primary purpose of the book. Now, Proverbs 3:3 says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." Solomon's talking to his son. "Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now, that word love means loyalty or kindness. And that word faithfulness means truth, reliability, and dependability. And Solomon is saying to his son, I want you to bind these around your neck. I want you to write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, that word tablet for some of you does not mean, you know, the thing that you could do this with. Okay? Remember when Moses went up on the mountain and God wrote 10 commandments? Do you remember what he wrote them on? Tablets of stone. Okay? That's what this is referring to. Solomon refers to his son's heart as a tablet of stone. And he tells his son, write on that tablet the commands of the Lord so that you don't forget them. And you know, that's such a great picture because stone is something that lasts a long, long, long time. As a family, we like camping up in Parry Sound, Canadian Shield, lots of rock. It's amazing to walk up there and look at some of those rocks and wonder how many thousands of years they've been there. And Solomon's referring to his son and he says, son, your heart's like a tablet of rock. Inscribe on it God's word. And so when we look at this word heart in this verse, it's really a reference to the mind, the soul, and the spirit, the self, the source of life, or the inner person. And Solomon is saying, make sure that the word of God is such a part of you that it affects all of who you are. Now, this tells us that we need to guard our children's minds. Fathers, you are responsible for the minds of your children. Did you know that? You are responsible for the minds of your children. What an awesome responsibility in light of all of the onslaught of information that is bombarding our children. You know, where do we often find our children? Yeah, this is what they want. They want screen time. Guard your children's minds. Where are they spending that time in front of the screen? They're being influenced, my friends. We're always being influenced. Avoid the temptation to surrender your child's mind to the screen. Proverbs 4:23 says, so Solomon again is speaking to his son. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now remember what the heart refers to. Our mind, our soul, our spirit, the source of life of the inner person in various aspects with a focus on feelings, thoughts, volition, and other areas of the inner life. And so what this father, Solomon, is saying to his son is be very careful what you allow into your mind and into your soul because that is where your behavior comes from. We all have a saying. We know this saying, right? You can finish it for me. Garbage in, garbage out. Okay? Think about Jesus. He said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. My friends, I think you know this, but I'll say it again. Our biggest problem in this world, in this evil world, is not the devil. It's not all the bad things that are happening around us. The problem is us. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, uncleanness. This is what Jesus tells us. Our conduct, we need to remember, is controlled by what we allow into our minds and our hearts. And fathers, you have the awesome responsibility of making sure that the minds of your children are programmed with love, with kindness, with truth, with reliability, and with faithfulness. Proverbs 1:9 says, for they... So I've just talked to you about love, kindness, truth, reliability, faithfulness. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And what Solomon is saying here is that when wise instruction takes up residence in the mind of your child, the result will be behavior that is marked by love, loyalty, and faithfulness. Is that the kind of child you want to have? That's what I want. Then guard your child's mind. Guard your child's mind. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says, "For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverse speech." You see what happens when you put good stuff in? There's a huge blessing attached to it. Proverbs 4:4 says, "Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live." Do you want to enjoy life? Then obey God's word. You know, we've got this, the world thinks that if you obey the law of God, that somehow God's some great killjoy in the sky and he's given us his laws to rob us of happiness and contentment. Well, you talk to anybody that's taken the world's path and God has opened their minds, they've discovered that that's a dead-end pathway. That's a path to sorrow and grief and pain. And that's why the Bible refers to God's word as the perfect law of liberty. When we embrace God's word in humility and faithfulness, it becomes to us freedom and joy. So the blessings of guarding the minds and hearts of your children are amazing. Fathers, you are guardians of your children's minds. Protect them from what is out there and build into them the truth of God's word. Secondly, teach your son to control his tongue. So we've talked about the mind. Now we're going to talk about the tongue. A verse that we learned as a family is James chapter 3 and verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell." If you were looking at that and thinking, "I got it all mixed up," it's because I've memorized that verse in a couple of different versions. Okay, but you know, that's the essence of it, is that the tongue is a powerful tool for good or for evil. And James goes on to say that if we can bridle the tongue, we can bridle the whole body. Because it's this small member that has such great power over us. So Solomon says, teach your son to be careful about what he says. Proverbs 4:24, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." So don't speak lies. Don't speak hypocritically. Don't speak perversely. Don't speak deceitfully. And you know, the point is, we don't just tell our children that. We enforce it, right? We make sure that their speech is pure speech. Pure words, clean words, truthful words. You know, this is a lesson that I had to learn as a child. My mother taught it to me. And when I came home with a word or words that I ought not to speak, I can remember being marched into the bathroom. I don't know if you remember the Ivory soap. I don't think it has changed so much. You know, I can still see Ivory written on it. And my mother handing me the bar and saying, "Take a bite." And then watching and saying, "Now I want you to chew it for a little while." Let that be a lesson to you. Do not say that again. I didn't need to learn that lesson twice. Actually, I did with different words. But it didn't take long for me to realize that if in doubt, keep your mouth shut. Or it will be, your mouth will become clean one way or another. I looked at a search of the phrase "the lips" in Proverbs, and it reveals the following blessings and cursings. Very insightful. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. The lips of the righteous feed many and know what is acceptable. The righteous man escapes from trouble by the wise use of his lips. The lips of the wise preserve them. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Do you see the blessings that come with a pure tongue? Remember, what comes out of the mouth? Where does it come from? The heart, right? This goes back to what we were just talking about. Fill your mind with good things, and out of your mouth will come good things. Fill your mind with garbage, what's going to come out of the mouth? Garbage, right? Now, what about the cursings? Lying lips conceal hatred. The mouth of the wicked pours out perversity. The evil man is trapped by his lips. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Very interesting that that word abomination is the same word that God uses to describe many other sins that we would think are horrible, horrible sins. The mouth of a fool invites the rod for his back. You see the cursings? You know, if you don't learn to guard your tongue, you see what's going to happen to you? So teach your children to measure their words. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. You know, when you have a child that can't stop talking, you need to teach them to stop. Some of us haven't learned that lesson. Okay? Proverbs 17:28 says, for even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Now remember this saying, never forgotten it. Better to keep silent and remain a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You like that? Better to keep silent and remain a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Proverbs 10:20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. So parents, fathers, teach your children. What comes out of their mouth is important. Not just the content, not just the quality, but the quantity. Okay? Thirdly, so we've looked at controlling the mind. We've looked at controlling the tongue. We're going to see here that Solomon also teaches his sons to control their bodies. Teach your son to control his body. Wise fathers are well aware that after puberty, young men develop passions that have the potential to wreak havoc in their lives if they do not learn how to control them. Are you aware of that, fathers? When your sons turn into young adults, teenagers, when they hit puberty, passions will arise in them that have the power to destroy their lives. Solomon recognized this. And this is one of the dominant themes in the first few chapters of Proverbs. Having considered the value of wisdom in Proverbs 2, 1 through 15, let's look at verses 16 through 19. Proverbs, I don't have some of these in here just because they're longer passages, but Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Okay, so he's talking here about protecting yourself, the value of wisdom. He says, so you will be delivered. What will wisdom do? You will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Now this passage here talks about the forbidden woman, and this, or the strange woman. And this is the woman in your circle who doesn't live nearby. So remember, we're trying to think about what the meaning is in the text. She is away from her home, she is away from her husband, she is away from her friends, from any accountability. And it's very easy for her to do whatever she wants without constraints. Now, we all want to think of our daughters as pristine and pure and holy. There's a reason why many girls go to college and get pregnant. It's not because there's just a bunch of guys trying to seduce her. It's because there are girls who are predators. Fathers, do you know that? There are girls who are out to destroy your sons. And you would do well to teach your sons to be aware of that strange woman. A wise father teaches his son so that he will become wise, and that wisdom will preserve him from the immoral woman who would use his passions to destroy him. Because you see, we got two things going on, right? We've got a young man with sexual desire, and we've got young women who are predators. Note the warning in verses 18 and 19. Why does her house sink down to death? Well, I think it's very simple. In Proverbs or in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 22, where we're talking about the law of God, it says there, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman, so shall you purge the evil from Israel. My friends, the Bible teaches us that God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What this commandment teaches us is how evil in the sight of God sexual immorality is and adultery. And we would do wise not to round off the rough edges. It was serious enough in God's eyes to require the death penalty. That's how serious that sin is. So God's attitude to adultery is the death penalty. Now think about this. A man's sexual or a young man's sexual desire can be so strong that he will risk his life for a few moments of pleasure. See, this is what Solomon is dealing with. He's living in a culture where the death penalty is there for adultery. And he's saying to his sons, you better learn how to control your passions, and you had better be aware of the immoral woman, because the consequences are very serious. You could lose your life, literally. Now that consequence is not here today, but my friends, there are still very serious consequences for those who ignore this teaching. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay? So, please turn now to chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. We'll look at these verses. Chapter 5, verses 7 through 10 says, and now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Okay, verses 1 through 6 are talking about adultery, the woman who, the forbidden woman. He says, now, sons, listen to me, do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, oh, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. So having taught his son about the strange woman, Solomon warns him to stay far away from the temptation. If you don't listen, he says to his son, you could end up supporting children who don't even live with you. Don't foolishly create children by a woman who is not your wife. Don't give your strength to another family by spending your hard-earned money on alimony or child support. I know this is true. I was a certified financial planner, and I would go to people's homes and I would help them create financial plans. And unfortunately, on many occasions, I was sitting in front of a couple who had no money. no extra money to do financial planning because the husband had one or two other families that he was supporting, giving child support to. Don't do that. Solomon warns his son. My friends, if you think that that's uncommon in our culture, it is not. It's very common. Very common. Warn your son against these dangers. If you refuse knowledge, Solomon says, and instruction in this area, a day will come when you say, "Oh, that I had listened." If we turn over to chapter 6, we're given some specific warnings in verses 29, 32, and 33. It says in verse 29, "So he who goes in to his neighbor's wife, so is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. No one, none who touches her will go unpunished." You see the Lord's attitude towards adultery? Your friends might not know, your parents might not know, your wife might not know, but God knows, and God will not allow you to go unpunished. Look at verse 32. "He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself." Verse 33, "He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away." Do you think that's true? I'm going to say a name, and I want you to think about the first thing that comes to mind when I say this name. King David. Okay, King David wrote the Psalms. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what do we remember David for? Adultery. God, even though David was a man after God's own heart, that was never wiped away. It always stuck to him. Fathers, remember that. Keep yourselves pure, and teach your son to control his body so that this doesn't happen to him. Look at the warnings in chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. "And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are" what? "A mighty throng." Isn't that interesting? That a woman has the power to destroy mighty men by getting them to surrender to their passions and bringing upon them God's justice. You know, if you want to read more about that, I would encourage you to read all of chapter 7. It's the story of a young man who either wasn't taught or ignored his father's teaching. Just, it's amazing how foolish this young man is as he goes and he presents himself to temptation, and temptation grabs him and overcomes him. Fathers, teach your sons how to control their minds, for that is where sexual desire starts. Teach your sons what a female predator looks like. Read Proverbs. There's lots of descriptions about what she looks like, how she talks, how she dresses, and her tactics. You'll find that in chapter 7. Warn your sons to stay away from such women. Do a good job of that. You know, I would say, you know, that's probably something that I wasn't taught. You know, it's kind of assumed that, you know, you'll just know. Well, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, didn't assume that, and neither should we. Thirdly, what are we at now here? Well, teach your son to control his mind, teach him to control his tongue, his body, and now fourth, teach your son marital faithfulness. And I've got a few more, so we're going to end with this one. "Having taught your son to flee lustful desires, to control his body, when he is married, encourage him to focus his sexual desire on his wife alone." You know, we shouldn't have to teach this, but we do. All you have to do is turn your TV on any given night of the week, and almost everything that's coming at you is saying the opposite. Gratify your desires. It's fun. It's exciting. Have that affair. Solomon says, your wife, son, she alone is to be the focus of your desire. Let's look at chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. Solomon says to his son, drink water from your own cistern. Do you think that he's talking about water? Okay, just give me just a little heads up. That's not what he's talking about here, okay? Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Do you find it interesting? I do. I find it interesting that a father's responsibility to teach his sons does not end when they become teenagers. It doesn't end when they become adults. It doesn't even end when they get married. Do you see that? A father is talking to his married son. And then, interestingly enough, he refers to his wife as the wife of your youth. He's not even talking about a newly married. You know, this is a challenge for us, right? Because if you don't inculcate in the hearts and minds of your sons and daughters your teaching responsibility, it's going to be very hard when they're adults to say, do you remember what I taught you? You're missing that. Remember this. Focus on it. And so your child is going, yes, Dad, I see that. Thank you for telling me. And they're not going like, what in the world are you giving me advice for? I'm married. I'm on my own. Mind your own business. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. He says there, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. What's Solomon saying there? Solomon is telling his married son, when you are thirsty, find your satisfaction in your own wife. When your sexual desire is strong, don't go elsewhere. Don't go spreading your seed all over town. You know, many of you might be thinking about this, well, you know, whew, that doesn't apply to me. You know, many of you would not commit adultery, but you would look at pornography. Proverbs 5:16 says, should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Why does he say that? Solomon's taking an example. Remember, this is Israel. It's a very dry place in the summer. They don't get a lot of rain. And so you remember that they lived in houses where there was no indoor plumbing. Water was scarce, and it was laborious work to get enough of it in your home for the day's needs. So you wouldn't have spent all that time and effort to get water just to take it and throw it out into the streets. The only thing people threw into the streets was sewage and garbage. But this is what a man does who satisfies his sexual desire with someone or something other than his wife. Whether that is adultery or whether it is porn or even lust. Fathers and sons, we're coming into the summer season. We're coming into a season where more and more young women are taking their clothes off in public. And the temptation for us, if we haven't learned to control our minds and our hearts, is to have those passions rule over us. My friends, God wants us to be in control of our minds and our hearts. Fathers, you need to do this, and you need to teach your sons how to do it. Sometimes it's just a matter of having the conversation and keeping one another accountable. Okay? I'm your pastor, but I'm still a man. And I tell you that when I go down the street, there are times when I see a woman walking along the sidewalk that I choose not to look at. so that I will not be tempted. We need to learn those lessons. You need to teach them to your sons. So only a fool takes water and throws it into the streets. And this is what a man does who satisfies his desire with someone or something other than his wife, whether that is adultery, porn, or lust. That husband is a fool who takes his desire and spreads it anywhere else other than with his wife. Now, I want to ask you something, fathers. Does your son see in your marriage that your wife is your best friend and your companion? That you have eyes for no other? Now, I'm not talking about perfection here, men. But your sons should know that your wife is your princess. And that your commitment is to her and to her alone. And when you fail, you know, this is a good thing. I can remember my father apologizing to my mother for his sins. And I'm not afraid to do that with my wife. I'm not perfect. I know it. But my sons need to see that as well, so that they learn this most important lesson. So fathers, teach your son by the way you treat your wife. Teach your son by enjoying your own wife. All right, we're done. So I'm going to just leave you with these thoughts. If you don't teach your son to guard his mind, Satan will teach him to open it to everything. If you don't teach your son to guard his tongue, Satan will teach him to use it to speak lies, perversity, and evil. If you don't teach your son to control his body, Satan will teach him to give in to his lusts. And if you don't teach your son to enjoy his wife, Satan will teach him to destroy his marriage. My friends, we need grace to do this, right? What do the scriptures say? We are more than overcomers in Christ. So let me encourage you, as I share these things, go to Christ. He will give you the grace to do these things. It may be hard to begin these conversations with your children, but man, this is primarily your responsibility to teach your sons these lessons and truths. Why does God focus on fathers and sons? Okay, remember the statistic that I gave? When a child comes to Christ, the chances that the rest of the family are going to come to Christ are about 3 or 4%. When a mother comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes up to about 20%. When a father comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, over 90% chance that the rest of the family will come to Christ. What does that tell us? As the father goes, so goes the home. So fathers, be encouraged. Don't look at these things and go, oh, there's so much, how can I do it? Look at it and say, God has given me these responsibilities, and if he's given them, he gives the grace to do them. And there are other men here who are happy to come alongside you and help you with these things. So let's pray, and let's thank God for his word.